This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
On Joy.
We have the lovely and gorgeous Matthew Wade, editor-in-chief of the Star Observer. I am not saying, and I even said I'm not going to say Sydney.
Yeah, you know, I was saying, like, a lot of people still call the Sydney Star Observer, and to be fair, it has been that for a very, very long time, but also for a while now, yeah, just Star Observer. It's national, so.
Well, that's the days when I used to have to sneak up from a house up around, like, Newtown Hotel and try and steal one from out the front without my dad or my neighbour catching me again. Yeah, what do you got that paper for?
Well, that's part of the reason why I'm based in Melbourne, I think, because, yeah, we're trying to dismantle that idea that it's only Sydney-based. Like, me being here and helping to spread the good word of SO here helps to show people, like, you know, no, we're in Melbourne, we're in Queensland, you know.
Well, Matthew, I love it when you're down here in Melbourne spreading the love.
I know, that was a weird turn of phrase, but yeah, you know what I mean.
Tom loved it. That's right, jumped at the
chance. You know, I jumped straight onto that. Look, so today let's talk about what's in the February edition. We've got Being Fearless.
Yeah, so it's actually, I know, I literally just was talking about how we're not a Sydney publication, but this is kind of to do with Sydney. Mardi Gras is obviously coming up, and this year Mardi Gras' theme is fearless, so a lot of the content in the magazine we thought would be nice to align with that idea. So the main feature being fearless, we spoke with, I think, five very different kind of diverse people who we see as fearless people in the community, and not people that others would necessarily know of, like kind of people that go under the radar. So for example, we spoke with an Indigenous lesbian who used to serve in the army. We spoke with a trans woman from Nigeria who traveled to Australia so that she could be her authentic self. Just people like that, people that maybe haven't necessarily had a platform before to share their story, but we thought, well, this is the perfect opportunity because fearless,
and they are
is
the real fearless people in our community, the ones that do it under the radar, that don't have to go out, you know, with their banner going, look at me, how good I am.
That's it. Giving them the voice as well for that, because a lot of them are voiceless at times.
Exactly. And it's one of those things where, I mean, aside from obviously this feature that we're doing now, they're quite content just living their life and being themselves. And that's why for me it is fearless, because there's no underlying agenda. They are literally just, they're amazing. So yeah, that's kind of the main feature for the issue.
We were very interested in the segment about stealthing and sexual assault.
Oh, yes.
We hadn't heard about it.
Stealthing?
Have you heard No. Okay, so maybe it's relatively recent, but it's this idea that, I guess, when two or more people are having sex, the person wearing the condom, if they are kind of to secretly remove the condom during sex without consent.
Really?
That's called stealthing.
People wouldn't do that, would they?
No, well, interestingly, there's a report that came out last month, I believe, a Victorian report, so it's local, that found that I think 1 in 5 gay and bisexual men had experienced stealthing. So basically, before having sex with someone, they'd consented to wear protection of some sort, whether it was a condom. Yeah. And then in the middle of it, without their knowledge or without their consent, it had been taken off, which is a form of sexual assault.
That's
wrong. Yeah, so I guess we wanted to cover it because if you look on porn sites or you look on, or even just this report that's recently come out, it's still held up by some as a kind of fantasy. It's kind of held up as something that's like, oh, you know, it's just like a cheeky little thing I do in the middle of sex, but it's actually not. Like, it's sexual assault. You know, if it's something that's non-consensual and it's in relation to someone else's body, it's sexual assault. So it's just an interesting thing to raise, particularly in light of the recent statistics. Yeah. And it's something that's not specific to gay and bisexual men. Like, this happens in straight relationships as well. But we just, we angled in particularly on the fact that, 1 in 5 gay and bi men. And this is specifically people that have gone to the Melbourne Sexual Health Centre down the road who have completed a survey. So it was, I think, 1,500 people completed it, and 1 in 5 said that they'd experienced some form of that. So,
people, be nicer to each other.
Yeah.
I mean, bloody hell. But that's okay. Look, here we go. 8 reasons why I left the gay dating app.
I'm intrigued about this one because I've heard many different things.
I think the original piece was like 15 reasons. I'm like, okay, we need to edit it down a little bit. I know there are many reasons people might want to, you know, eschew the apps. And these kind of pieces crop up quite regularly. But we had someone pitch this piece, particularly about 2019, New Year, why he wanted to kind of leave the apps behind. And he kind of, it was interesting because, I mean, a lot of the obvious reasons that might come to mind, like, oh, you know, I don't want to waste time, because they can be quite time consuming, right? Like, you spend hours just looking, trying to find something, or you can have, I guess, an undesirable hookup that actually didn't go very well. But he was talking more about, I guess, some of the more underlying insidious ways that apps can be negative. Like, for example, the way that on these apps a particular kind of body image is like held up as ideal, or the way that particular even ethnicities are held up as ideal and these kind of things. He was kind of exploring how, because of that, he just doesn't feel like it's a comfortable space. Even for him as a cisgendered white dude, he just feels that, like, you know, there's a culture on these apps that's very exclusive.
Yeah. I think it would be quite... You know, I was never involved in dating apps. You know, the internet wasn't around when I met Wayne. We're still sending smoke signals across the valley to each other.
Yeah.
But I could see that, you know, you have an encounter, or you meet someone and you're enjoyable. I think it's, again, this FOMO. Oh, my God, there could be someone better. So rather than being happy with what you've met, letting a relationship develop, I think it'd be so easy to pull up that app and think, oh, well, he was great. Well, she was, you know, let's see if I can find something better.
That's a great point.
Look, this week, and I have noticed on the internet too, there's been a very big talk about fat phobia, fat shaming in the queer community.
Which, of course, is nothing new. Like, that's been around for a very, very long time. But I actually think partly provoked by the recent Poof Toof scandal.
I was thinking that, yes.
Yeah, it almost kind of reignited that debate. Like, the fact that in queer spaces, and for gay men in particular, there's such a pressure to look a particular way, otherwise you're not seen as desirable or good enough. And for people that might have a bigger build or bigger body, it can feel quite isolating. So one of the pieces in our issue this month is around fat phobia in the queer community. And we actually spoke with the performer from the show Cake Daddy, which is actually, was that Midsummer this season? And it's also going to be at Mardi Gras next month or later this month. Just about, how he's kind of helping to reclaim his own body image and actually make it a point of empowerment rather than something to feel ashamed of or isolated about. So,
Could you imagine as a community or as the world if we all look the same? How boring would it be? I think we can be a bit mean with each other. I mean, I'm now 50 and I'm quite comfortable now to walk around with a singlet, but I've spent 40 years not wanting to take my shirt off. I mean, I've never had an issue with being overweight, but I always felt underweight.
And it goes both ways. Exactly. It's not even necessarily just fat phobia, but it's one of those things where for some reason in our community so often people feel that they need to look a very particular way. And let's be real, like, it's, you need to be built and muscled and whatever. And if you're not, then it's like, you may have insecurities. And especially for younger people, I mean, people of all ages, of course, but someone that's younger than might just be coming out and starting to enter the community and meet other people, being met with these kind of images or standards can be really damaging. So it's great that people, like the people that we spoke to in this article in particular, it's great to see that they're kind of unashamedly being themselves and helping to set more positive example for others.
Anyway, and with the show out there, like, was it Cake Daddy?
Yeah,
and it was great. I mean, the more we have of that out there, the more it becomes norm. Let's go and have a bit of fun and celebrate our diversity rather than all looking the same.
I agree. I actually went to the Cake Daddy show earlier this week and it was great. It was like this one part of the show where there was just literally a big cake in the middle of the stage and everyone kind of could go up and have a little piece, and he was like, yeah, like, you, everyone gets a piece.
Did you eat it?
I actually didn't, which is probably, it went against the message, but I was...
I'm happy for them to eat cake on stage, but I have a problem about eating food out of people's mouths. Yeah.
Now, Mr. Wade, we've got some news for you. We're throwing something at you because Disneyland just got a little bit happier. The happiest place on earth got happier.
Yeah.
Because there's LGBTQI+, there's going to be some marches, is that correct? Parades celebrating the community.
So Disneyland Paris is set to become the first ever Disney-themed park to host an official Pride event.
In Pride, like June, like in Pride Month, or was it, you know?
Correct, yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So they're actually going. Of course, at first when I was looking at it saying Disneyland, I went, well, that's really forward of Mr. Trump and his little friends. And I realised, oh, no, it's in Paris. Of course, it's in Paris.
Of course.
Because they do talk about that, you know, Disneyland once did have a gay day, but it was never official.
It was just kind of like that people just kind of went along knowing.
So we decided as a community, well, that's the day all us gays will go to feel protected as a group, you know.
I love how they describe it on the website here. An advertisement on the park's official website describes it as a dazzling party.
That's nice.
I love that.
And also because so many young people go there. I mean, young people, like not even just like people starting to realize that they're gay. I mean, even just young people,
kids,
that's the word. They're going along and they're seeing it as being completely normalized. Like they'll see people marching and celebrating that kind of thing.
I've been working in primary schools lately teaching basketball and it's amazing how different it is these days and how welcoming kids are these days.
So my oldest daughter's 30. Yeah. So I'm going back 25 years ago. Uh-huh. My son's friends come home and he said, well, who's that guy? And he goes, well, that's my dad. And he goes, well, who's the other guy? And he goes, well, that's my dad as well. And they went, oh, okay. And the kids go off and play. Mm. 2 years later, there was an issue when the parents found out.
And that's it, right? Yeah.
So then we had to question. I had to, yeah. So children have never been racist, homophobic, yeah. Parents. We created.
They're conditioned to be that way. They're not born that way, yeah.
Right. Well, I don't want to take away from the Disneyland's parade because the event will feature meet and greets with Disney characters, a party with live music, karaoke and DJs, as well as the magical march of diversity.
Well, that'd be so much fun. I'd love to touch up Donald Duck. Yeah.
Defiling a Disney character, that's your new low, Tom. That's your new low.
Oh, is it?
I had one more question, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
While we're still here, if that's okay. Kim Petras.
Yeah.
Hit us with the knowledge.
So she's headlining, well, she's one of the headliners for the upcoming Mardi Gras party, which is always really fun. Last year was Cher. So
can
it's
I
kind
say
of hard
something?
To, yeah, yeah.
Who is she?
Okay, so she's a trans pop star.
Oh, okay.
But she produces and performs really fun kind of 80s style pop music.
Oh, I love that. Then.
It's great. Actually, the music's really good.
Yeah.
But she's going to be headlining the upcoming Mardi Gras party. And even though Cher's kind of hard to top from last year, she's, yeah, I'm really, really excited. So we got to speak with her ahead of her trip to Australia.
My husband is still beating me up about we didn't go to Mardi Gras.
Oh,
last
no.
year. We were filming that bloody Gogglebox and couldn't go. Oh, it got cancelled and it was terrible. Yeah.
Well, because I marched in the parade, by the time I got to the party, the actual venue she was going to be performing was well and truly full, so we had to kind of wait outside and watch it on the screens, which is still fun, but yeah, yeah.
Well, Mr. Matthew Wade, thank you so much for coming on. We're so excited to have you in here again, hopefully quite soon.
Yeah, anytime. Thank
it's
you.
It's like monthly.
Yeah.
We are excited to have you in again.
It's called Mash, mate. It's not that hard.
Wake up with Tom and Mikey, Thursdays for breakfast on Joy. Tune into 94.9 in Melbourne. Stream live at joy.org.au or download the Joy app. Find all our podcasts at tomandmikey.com. Subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get podcasts. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them.
Thanks for listening to another Joy Podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.